if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello and welcome to episode 346 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast. I am Coleman. Hi.
Hi.
And with me today is Mr. Timothy Kenneth James Hibbs.
Hello.
And, with me as always is Mr. November.
you named me. That's,
yes.
You're not supposed to name me.
No, not meant to name you. No, Mr. November. Dan isn't here, but he will be later. He'll be dropping in for a moment. The reason for this, there's a Destiny stream, and it happens at this... Well, it's happening right at this precise time as we are recording, and we didn't want to delay the recording too long because I have to edit, and then I have to sleep, and then I have to get up for work, and I'd like more than 2 hours sleep tonight. Thank you. Anyway, this is episode 346. As I did say, this is a podcast. We are going to be talking about a lot of stuff. We had a nice little lineup of things to talk about today until Tim reminded me 1 hour before we start recording that there is a Google Stadia announcement stream thing that I had to watch and talk about. So... in preparation of that, what I've decided to do is go through the entire news for this week very, very quickly, as if the entire thing was points of interest, and then we're going to talk about Google Stadia. Sound good?
Yeah, I slightly put a Google cat amongst your pigeons.
Well, let's get on with it. I was planning to gloss over this one anyway.
Yep.
There was a new Call of Duty title. It has been announced. It was literally announced as we were recording last week.
Well, you say new title.
It's an old title that they're reusing. It is Call of Duty Modern Warfare, a soft reboot of the series, developed by Infinity Ward. That's coming out on the 25th of October 2019 on PC, PS4, and Xbox One. And the big thing here is that the game will be cross-platform play between all consoles and PC. I mean, all the available things that it's on. That makes more sense. And also, there won't be a season pass, and there won't be a zombies mode. So all the DLC will be rolled out over time. We don't know if that's all DLC will be free or if there will be pre-order or what's going on with that, but there will be DLC rolled out. Also, and I'm sure you're happier that this is getting glossed over now, but there was a Nintendo Pokemon Direct for Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield, which we spoke about very briefly last week, mostly because we were talking about the newer titles. This was coming out on the 15th of November for a worldwide launch. And looked pretty impressive as terms of Pokemon games go. I still think it looks like an up-res 3DS game on the Switch.
Yeah.
But I do like some of the things they're implementing in the game. So, for one, now there aren't the random battles where you just walk around, the screen goes and you start a fight with a Pokemon. Much like Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, you'll have Pokemon walking around in the wild and you can walk up to them and attack them, fight them to catch them. You can see all the trainers, and also Pokemon can run up at you and you'll see them coming.
Yeah.
I really like that touch. It makes the world feel more alive, and they're bringing that to Sword and Shield as well.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of the random fight thing.
I don't mind random battles.
Nah.
I remember it annoyed me in Final Fantasy VII, but I was 12, 13. I can't remember how much old I was when that game came out.
It generally annoyed me in games since then as well. But yeah, not a fan, generally.
There's also going to be a new wild area within Pokemon Sword and Shield, which is essentially the Pokemon Dark Zone. So this is a place in the Galar region outside of the game's story where you can run around and level up your Pokemon, beat other trainers and stuff. But also, you can connect online with other characters, with your friends or randoms, and go out and catch a Pokemon together, which is a really cool thing.
Aww.
Yeah, and that's kind of seeing the four-player co-op, that's kind of the first time outside of any sort of Pokemon Go special event that I've seen this implemented in Pokemon. And that leads on to the Dynamax system, which is a new thing. There's a phenomenon going on in the game, and it's causing gigantic Pokemon to just increase in size, become kaiju, essentially, and have really incredible strength and powers. So this will go into the normal kind of gym battles and online fights and stuff, where you can fight with giant Pokemon in a stadium, and it is nice. A kind of cool looking thing. But also when you're going around the wild area and you're all teamed up, you can team up together to take down the big Pokemon yourself and try catching one of these things with a massive Pokeball.
Massive Pokeball.
So that leads into the raid battle. And there's going to be cool little things as well, which I think they've touched on in previous games. So if it's daytime, you can catch certain Pokemon. If it's nighttime, you can catch certain Pokemon. And they did show the two new legendaries, which is basically dog with sword in his mouth, dog with shield for a face. I'm happy with this.
Okay.
Good.
Good.
That's Pokemon. Once again, that is coming out on the 15th of November on the Nintendo Switch. And I might be sold on a Pokemon game that I'll probably play for 2 days solid and then just stop playing.
Never play again.
Because, that's how Pokemon goes.
I don't know if I'm Pokemon'd out after my... We documented my going into my first Pokemon game in, what was it, 3DS, I think, basically. But yeah.
Is that Black and White 2?
I can't remember where we were. No.
It was a while ago. This was BC before Coleman on the show.
Maybe it was Switch. Maybe it was... no, it can't have been Switch.
No. I remember this specifically. You were trying to get into a Pokemon game. John was still on the show, and I was a listener.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah.
So, that's how long ago it was.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can be bothered again with Pokemon. I'm not sure. I'll see nearer the time, depending on what else is available. And like you say, I'm most likely to play it for a period of days and then never play it again. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that's how modern day Pokemon works. There's one thing I did forget to mention. If you want to play co-op with your friends or do the raid battles and stuff together, you can connect locally with wireless, and you don't require a Nintendo Online subscription to do so.
Oh, yeah.
But if you want to connect online, then you require the Nintendo Online subscription. So nice little... I thought that was quite cute, that. Yeah, good. Yeah. Good idea. And also in the headlines, there was a new Watch Dogs title that we had... Oh God, I think we've been talking about this since Watch Dogs 2 came out. Watch Dogs 3, although it's not called Watch Dogs 3, it's called Watch Dogs Legion, is a terribly guarded secret that has finally been leaked before its leak with the bunny fingers going on here.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper, all that kind of stuff. That was leaked out before E3, and Ubisoft then came out and confirmed that Watch Dogs Legion is a game that's coming out. It looks like it will be the game set in London. And according to some of the leaks, it seems this is a game where you play a post-Brexit dystopian version of London.
I love that sentence. I'm sorry, like, it just... That just made me laugh.
But then the interesting thing is apparently and it's called Legion. So
yeah.
Legion, we are Legion, we are many. We are the nameless, all that stuff. The idea is you can interact and control any NPC within the game, and each NPC has its own individual movement set, voice set, abilities and things that makes them all individual. If that's true, that's amazing. It still leads me back to when they said women are too hard to animate. Now we're going to animate everyone. That seems a bit crazy to me, but hey.
It's the Ubisoft way. It's all or nothing.
Ubisoft did update their Twitter account, as I did say, and used the hashtag God Save the NPCs. So it looks like that could be, that rumor could be an actual thing that's happening.
It's just one of those things. Lots of people have been commenting on the fact that there were loads of headlines and other things saying, or people just generally saying online, you can take control of all the non-playable characters. No.
That makes them playable characters.
Exactly. You literally, like, you can't define them that way.
Now they're called PCs.
Yes.
No, I like that. I'm wondering if you get a main character, like a big character like you would with Watch Dogs 1 and 2, or if you're creating a character that's a voiceless character to go in the world before you start taking over people. I'd be interested to see how that goes. And also, open world London, always happy with that.
It's one of the only things that open world games can do to really hook me in, apart from being, designed different and brilliantly like God of War, like or Spider-Man. The one thing they can do is, sell it in London. That's a good, I'll probably buy that then.
Not just London. If you make a video game and you set it somewhere I recognize, I'm probably going to go, ooh, yeah, I'll get that. Still waiting on Assassin's Creed Portsmouth. Come on, Ubisoft. Just saying. That's all your headlines. And running through the points of interest, there is a release date for My Friend Pedro. That's going to be out on the 20th of June for Nintendo Switch and PC. Thank you very much. I'll be having that. Shenmue 3 has been delayed once more.
Sorry, what?
Shenmue 3 yep. has been delayed once more. It's now got a new release date. It's moved from the 27th of August now to the 19th of November because the game needs a little bit more refinement.
Needs to be a bit more game.
I'm wondering if they wrote the generic statement of we need to add more polish and then went, hold on, doesn't everyone use that sentence? Like, maybe Googled the sentence.
Haven't we used that twice already? Oh, we've used up our two polishes. What's next? What's next on the list?
How do we say polish without saying polish? Refinement.
Refinement. Yeah, go with refinement. Next time we'll use deeper integration.
We need... all right, I'm going to think of this. If you've got some suggestions on how to say add a little bit more polish or add more refinement or whatever you want to say to a video game, let us know on Twitter and Facebook and bigredbarrel.com.
Give us a contact on social medias. Like your best BS reason for delaying your game.
And lastly, in the points of interest, I really wanted to add this in just because I'm a big Maiden fan. Iron Maiden are in the video game news. They are suing 3D Realms, who I didn't know were still in business. Got to admit.
Yep, news to me. Well, sorry, Iron Maiden or 3D Realms? Which one?
3D Realms. I know Iron Maiden.
I didn't know either of these. I thought Iron Maiden were dead, and I thought 3D Realms were out of business. So, you know.
Oh, we're going to get so many metalheads coming against us now.
No, right. To be fair, I just hadn't heard of them in years.
Bruce Dickinson's going to get in his plane and fly to your flat.
He's
going to break your ouya.
They looked dead 30 years ago, so, you know.
I think you might be mixing up Iron Maiden and Rolling Stones, Tim. But yes, Iron Maiden, if you don't know, they're an English heavy metal band, and they are suing 3D Realms currently for $2 million in statutory damages over alleged breach of their trademark. The reason being is 3D Realms last February, I think it was, they released a game called Ion Maiden, I-O-N,
mm-hmm.
Which you may have noticed is a confusingly similar version of their trademark. So... Also, this came out in February. Why did it take them? Why so soon? Why
old.
See them so quick?
It took them a long time to understand. It's a video game, and it's kind of like your name. We haven't got a lot to do as your lawyers at the moment. We're going to sue them.
Outside of Duke Nukem Forever, I don't think 3D Realms has been in the headlines for a very long time. Probably when they tried to sue Gearbox and then went, actually, no, we got that wrong, sorry.
So what we're saying is there's a good chance they probably don't have 2 million at the moment.
Probably, yeah. But I think they gave up on that quest anyway and said that they mistook the agreement or something. I don't know. But anyway, Iron Maiden suing 3D Realms. If they win, they just get $2 million. Sadly, they're not going for the company because I think it'd be really funny if Iron Maiden got... Well, if they don't have Duke Nukem anymore, what do 3D Realms have? Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden just take over the company and now insist they make the game Iron Maiden and
yes.
just give them all the money. There you go. Everyone's happy.
Okay, right. That was a very quick summary of the news. Very quick for us. I don't think we've ever done the news in a quarter of an hour, not since the show, not since Sarcastic Gamer UK. So now is the time where we're going to talk about Google Stadia because we've just watched a recorded stream.
I've just bought one.
And Tim's just bought one because he is the... Never let it be said that Tim isn't the most impulsive man on the podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
To be fair, I was going to buy an Oculus Quest. They're generally sold out at a lot of places at the moment. I was thinking about it anyway.
You just had that money burning a hole in your pocket and you thought, you know what?
No, I literally had £400 in credit on my credit card and I can't be bothered to phone up and get them back. So I'll spend it. There you go.
Man maths.
Man maths.
That controller will look lovely next to your Ouya.
Mate, I need to fire my Ouya up this week. It's closing down on the 25th.
You got to download all your games before they delete them.
Look, I've already downloaded my games on the thing. Anyway, but yeah, I need to just go and check that out before it actually kicks a bucket.
Anyway, so we have new information on Google Stadia. And the big thing is first of all, they went through, because since the announcement, and we've been talking about it ourselves, there's been a lot of talk over what the kind of fidelity would mean in the climate of some countries where the internet isn't as good or as steady or as stable. And there was test footage shown at the at GDC when they first unveiled this thing. The frame rate was choppy in places, depending on how long it had been running. So they came out straight away and went, look, okay, it runs pretty damn well. Here's how it works. If you get as little as 10 megabits per second line speed, you can run the game at 720p in 60 frames per second with stereo. If you get 20 meg, then you can run 1080p, HDR video, 60 FPS, 5.1 surround. If you get 35 megabits per second, you get 4K, HDR video, 60 frames per second, 5.1 surround sound.
Does that mean you're okay, Coleman?
I think we're both okay, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. We're both covered by that. But, I mean, we are in, you know, London area, and that is generally a well-covered broadband area these days, generally.
Mm. Yeah, say that 10 years ago.
Yeah. But, I mean, we've got 5G coming soon as well. I mean, I guess that's in their thinking as well. That
it's launched now.
That's going to probably be a large integration point for this as well, I would imagine, possibly. Like, I don't know if that helps, but... Anyway, but yeah, like they said enough to get me to go, all right, yep, I'll put that much money down on that. For what you get in the, well, should we go through that? What you get in the different packs?
We'll
or?
Get to that part because yeah. We'll sort of go in the order of the actual stream itself.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yep, that's why I halted from jumping that far ahead, basically.
Yeah, this is what happens when things get announced. I find out about things at the last minute and then we watch them just before recording. We have no plan of structure, so yeah. There you go. But that's how the speed works. I'm pretty impressed with that. Like, even in my hometown where I had really rubbish internet, that could still run. You could run that on copper wiring by the sounds of it and still be pretty impressed with that. Mm. And if you're running copper wiring, you might not have a next generation console. other announcements was, first of all, they announced Baldur's Gate 3, which is something that people have been wanting for a very long time, and was actually in our agenda as we had a big rumor about it where someone had data mined the heck out of a website and found information for Baldur's Gate 3. Turns out it was real. Took it off the agenda.
Good rumor spotting, though, Mr. Coleman. You had a rumor on the show. It was current, up to date, and it was going to be right. So good work.
If I put that in last week's show, I would have looked like I'd known what I was talking about. Yeah. Hot on the off the press, finger on the pulse instead of up my bum. So yes, Baldur's Gate 3 looks we saw a pre-render trailer. We don't know how the game's going to look, but judging by previous games of the studio, I can see it's going to be doing pretty well. Also, Ghost Recon Breakout, which they announced a couple of weeks ago, that is coming to Stadia. There was another trailer for that one. I think that was the same trailer, just but with a bit of gameplay added to the mix. And also, Guilt is a game from Tequila Works. They've had an interesting past. They were the ones who were making Rime as a PlayStation 4 exclusive until allegedly, PlayStation turned up and took all their dev kits away. And then it became a multi-platform game. So, hey. There was also a multiplayer game called Get Packed, which looks a little bit like Overcooked / Moving House.
Yep.
From Moonshine. And then they announced Division 2 will be there.
Yeah.
That's... correct me if I'm wrong, that's a lot of Ubisoft games, Tim.
Yes, Ubisoft definitely on a new platform. Google. Yeah. On a new platform. Who would have thought? Ubisoft.
Crazy, I mean, that.
You can't fault them. Like, they're generally kind of... they do say ubiquitous software, so, you know, they do kind of live up to that that moniker. So, yeah, like, it's good to see they always do support new platforms, and they kind of almost platform agnostic in the sense of doing that, no? But I was just going to say, there's a list of a few other games that we saw, like, video snippets of just on the website, so I can run through a few of those as well. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, which you'll be pleased with, Mr. Coleman.
Well, not really. That's a game from a while ago now.
Yeah, okay, but just, I thought you'd be pleased there was a Dragon Ball game there. It means other Dragon Ball games are likely to make it there in the future, no?
If it was the fighting game, Dragon Ball FighterZ, then I'd be impressed. But Xenoverse came out like 5-6 years ago now. Yeah, yeah. Xenoverse 2.
Yeah, okay, is that...
Feels like it came out a while ago.
But then Doom Eternal?
Doom Eternal, yeah, that's upcoming game.
Wolfenstein Youngblood?
That's the two Blazkowicz children.
Yes. I don't think it's out yet, though, is it?
No, not out yet.
Yeah. Power Rangers, Battle for the Grid.
Yeah, I hear mixed things.
Metro Exodus, which I think will look very nice on that. Thumper, which everybody goes to everything. The new Grid, by the looks of things. Samurai Showdown, Football Manager 2020, Elder Scrolls Online. The Crew 2! Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which we've seen them messing around with, so that's not too surprising. Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which I think they mentioned, Trials Rising, NBA 2K, Borderlands 3, Farming Simulator 19, Mortal Kombat 11, Rage 2, Final Fantasy 15, that Guilt thing that they showed a trailer for, Tomb Raider Trilogy, Darksiders Genesis, and Just Dance 2020, you'll be pleased to know, Coleman.
Woo! Mortal Kombat 11, if this works as well as it does, that means you can have a version of Mortal Kombat 11 that isn't on the main console's PC and looks better than the Switch version.
Yeah.
Where's the moon gone? The other thing, Darksiders Genesis is announced in this, and I haven't seen anything about that, but is this the top-down Darksiders game?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, like, that's the first I'd heard of it as well, so I don't know yet. Like,
Have they announced it before the announcement?
Yeah, possibly. It's one of those things where they might be just mentioning it, but we might get more details at E3 kind of thing.
Yeah, I might just be way out of the loop there.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing anything about it, though.
So the big announcement, they came over to the price, which means I think the controller, I don't know how much they are in the UK. They're $70 in the US.
They are £59 in the UK.
Okay, they're £59 in the UK. You can use that with a tablet. You can use that with a phone. If you want to use it with a TV, you need a Chromecast. If you want to stream in 4K with the Chromecast, you need to buy the Stadia Founders Edition, which launches later this year for £119 in the UK.
And that's the one that I bought.
Yep, Tim has bought one. It comes with a Chromecast Ultra, as I said, a Stadia controller, and also gives you 3 months membership subscription to their... Oh, I didn't mention that as well. You can buy games outright, or you can pay $9.99 a month and get a subscription for games.
No, it's $8.99 a month in the UK.
Oh, sorry. £8.99 in the month for a month in the UK to get your subscription, Netflix style. So you get 3 months of that with the Founders Edition, which also comes along with a 3 month buddy pass. So you can let a friend try Stadia for nothing.
Yeah.
Which sounds good.
So that'll be going to you, Coleman, unless you end up buying yourself one.
So, I mean, I might buy myself one. Yeah. And this just in, Dan has bought one as well. So there we go. That's that is 2/3 of the podcast that have currently pre-ordered Stadia Founders Editions.
That should probably tell you something. But for me, it makes sense. I need the controller, which was £59. I don't have a Chromecast, and I'm guessing this model is at least, what, 25? Maybe even more.
Probably.
And then, 3 months to see what it's like. That seems like not a bad deal. And it's £119 delivered as well. So it's not too bad.
And it comes with a game as well, which is always great.
And that game is...
Tim's well happy with this. By the way, Chromecast Ultras are £70.
Okay. Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, so...
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad man maths.
So as you alluded to, Tim, the game that is bundled in with the Chromecast Ultra is Destiny 2, and Destiny 2, all its expansions and season passes and all that kind of stuff. You get literally everything. And with that announcement, they also said, hey, do you know what? If you get yourself if you get Destiny 2 in general, you'll be able to transfer your saves across from platform now. Which is a cool thing, because that's something we've never been able to do before.
Yeah.
And with that, they seem to imply that you can play with others, but we don't fully have the extent of those details, which I'm sure are going to be happening on the Destiny live stream that Dan is watching. Speaking of which, we should probably go over to Dan so he can talk about the Destiny live stream.
Destiny, you cannot destroy my Destiny!
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to this brand new episode of BR... What?
No, we've done some already. You're late.
What?
You're late.
What do you mean? So hang on. You're telling me the whole world doesn't revolve around my schedule?
I mean, your parents may have lied to you as a child, but yes.
10 minutes of you going through Destiny in any way, shape, or form, it is about an hour in the real world.
Dude, I was told that you were just talking about Raid Shooter. It's going to be 5 minutes.
I mean, that's kind of
that's
true.
In the future. That's in the future.
Okay, that's in the future.
Yeah. You've got that to look forward to.
Oh, God. Hey, but Tim, good news.
Is it?
I understand we have both purchased Google Stadia for science.
Yes, for science purposes.
For science. My connection, apparently based on my current download speed of 300.156 megabits a second, apparently I have a high-performing gaming experience on Stadia. Can't wait.
So do I.
Good.
Do you have fiber to the premises as well?
Yes.
Oh, it's so good.
I can get the 4K strength, apparently.
The 4K's strengths.
Yeah, the 4K's strengths.
The 4K girthage.
I mean, believe it or not, with Tim's technical house of smashy smashy, he can actually, I think he qualifies for 4K also.
Yeah, I'm good.
It's the tin can and the string that he's tied up to his router.
It's whether it can hold that strength, we don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But lordy goodness, what a lot has happened in the hour before we usually start to record and then the hour of when we're recording.
I swear the whole video game industry is trolling our recording time, like permanently. Yeah.
As mentioned at the start of the show, we had a whole agenda written and ready to go before Dan went, there's a Destiny stream, and then Tim went, there's a Stadia stream.
Because rather, we figured it's probably best doing it in a slightly crazy, topsy-turvy way, rather than us just spending the whole show going, well, there's stuff going on that we don't know what it is, but you'll find out about it in a week's time when you've heard it already.
That's Call of Duty Modern Warfare out on the 25th of October.
Oh, I really couldn't give a monkey's about
that. That's right, you weren't here for that, Dan. You weren't here for the Pokemons. You're safe.
Yeah, you missed everything, Dan.
Do you know what the amazing thing was?
Spent 2 hours talking about VR, Dan.
No, what? Shut up. I actually played games this week. Not expect to have something to talk about, but they're going to have to wait till next week.
Well, we can save that for another week. Probably not next week because I think it's E3, but we'll work this out.
Week, Dan.
I can do... all I will say, Void Bastards.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that's pretty
great
good.
Game.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk great about game. That. We'll talk about that because I want to talk about that too.
Okay. Void Bastards is a game published by Humble Bundle. So all the proceeds go to charity, which is nice. Is a kind of like if FTL had a baby with. What's the name of that one? It's Rogue. That's not Rogue Knight. You know the one I mean.
Rogue Legacy.
That fella. If those two games had a baby, this is what it would be.
Right.
And if they were reading 2000 AD at the same time.
Okay.
2000 AD, etc. Because it's 2000 AD.
That famous British comic.
Exactly. It's a great game. Love it. A great roguelike. Really nice progression mechanics. Doesn't feel too staid. Good, nice, bite-sized chunks of action. And for the first time in a long while, a genuinely unique visual style, which is like playing a comic book. It's incredible.
What's the actual like minute-to-minute gameplay? Because I've heard lots about it. That's the one thing I'm not... Is it like first-person shootery or...?
Yeah, so it comes from... So it's put together by some of the guys... who worked on Bioshock.
That wasn't the question I asked, though, was it, Dan?
No, but I'm getting around to it.
Okay.
So there's kind of interaction with the environment, hacking the environment to help you reach your objectives, but generally you are one of an endless list of prisoners who are being rehydrated to go and grab some stuff for some things, so the Megacorp, who you're unknowingly working for, can exert commercial domination over the universe.
Work.
I know, it's great, isn't it? So President Trump is alive in the 27th century, and that's how he rolls now. But no, it's every character you have has randomly roll positive traits, negative traits. Like, I got one who yells at the top of his voice whenever he finds some ammo.
That's genius. Every time he fired a gun, so he'd be like, he'd say, it says bang, but he's like, bah! Each time. Yep. I'd love that.
And there's another trait where you can be super tall.
Yeah.
So you have to crouch to go through doors. It's beautifully silly. And it's got a very nice British sense of humour to it as well. And seriously, it really... There's some British comic artists which you can tell that it's definitely borrowed from in terms of style. And if it's circa 1985 2000 AD, I think is probably the nice artistic reference.
That's
I would
a
look
nice
at.
Point to be at.
That's a strong British point to be at.
It is.
I have a question, Dan. I don't know if I missed it, but what are you playing on?
PC.
Okay. Because is this on Switch?
No, I think it's Xbox and PC. It's on Game Pass.
Xbox and PC, yeah. And you can buy it on humblebundle.com. I think that's just PC.
I think, isn't that the first non-Xbox first-party exclusive to come to Game Pass, launch on Game Pass?
I think so. I think people are tired of having to play with Sony's ball, I think, is the increasing feeling I get.
That's fair.
Kind of brings me on to my next point.
Yeah, because when we steer away from the land of Sony, what is left? Well, Google Stadia. And what's coming to Google Stadia? Only Tim's best game of all time, said Tim. Definitely.
At least, no. Right, there's one thing about it that I like. It's all there. Like, there's no paying for other stuff. And, you know, it's all the content. It's all accessible. By the sounds of anything they add to that would therefore be accessible as well. So, yeah, I'm okay.
So we already buried the lead. It is Destiny 2. Dan's been watching the Destiny 2 stream for all the reveal-y goodness.
And my goodness, have I made some notes. Which is anyone who's ever worked with me in terms of video game podcasting knows that it's a really unusual occurrence where I actually make notes. Yes, that.
Prepare Coleman, for the show.
Coleman does a wonderful job of preparing for me, and I then basically just style it out because he's done such a great...
Using the power of editing, I take out all the parts where Dan is clearly reading for the first time the news he is talking about.
Exactly.
So just to sort of give some background, going into the news is out there for everyone, but me and Tim have been recording as this has been going on, so this is literally news to our ears coming from you, Dan, for the first time. Going into this, there was Bungie put up the site to sort of go announcement on this date, this time, and then people data mined that and found a PNG file that had the moon expansion and some details that went along with it. Then some leaks came out following, and the big thing is that people think that the PNG file was a deliberate plant to go, yes, this is included, but there's a bunch of other stuff that we've just thrown you off the trail of. Would it be safe to say that's what's happened?
Almost kind of. So, it is on the moon. It is called Shadowkeep.
Okay.
So those two things were correct.
Because they had a thing for that in Google Stadia, no?
They did, yes. The hour before Bungie stream, yes. Which I'm not entirely sure Bungie were 100% expecting that it was going to be done in that way. So we're going back to the moon. That is the kind of the mainstay of...
Let Tim do the line.
Go on, Tim.
Oh, that wizard came from the moon. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, well done, Tim. So far, so normal. A Destiny expansion.
Can I just say that was all the enthusiasm of Peter Dinklage right there?
Well, actually, Peter Dinklage does make a little return in something to do with this, which I'm going to get to in a bit. So,
not sure.
This
little
is Bungie's
return's the most
first
appropriate
foray
phrase, but...
into. Cheers, Tim. Thank you very much. So, this is Bungie's first foray into being a truly independent publisher developer. And so many times they were thinly veiled up yourses at Activision throughout.
Really?
This is like, yes, very much.
They did
well,
a big thing during the split to say this is an amicable split,
no!
and we're,
got
we're
it.
Happy.
That's what you always say. That's why you can't trust them when they say that, well, Coleman.
They said they were consciously uncoupling, goddammit.
Well, yeah, I mean, they recoupled, but it involves a blunt object and Activision's rectum, as far as I can work out. It really is... yeah, they basically... It's that their whole kind of video documentary, their Vidoc, as they like to call it, is called Out of the Shadows. And it's clearly a big F you to Activision, because they show it and it goes, yep, now we're independent. We can pretty much do what we want. And they made a very big thing throughout the whole show saying that they now get to set the cadence of what they do. And they can do things the way they want to without having to pander to, you know, kind of a corporate structure and kind of predetermined ideas of what should be released, how it should be released, and when it should be released.
That's great and all, yeah, but I have a bit less sympathy for them when that's exactly what they said when they got under the, out from Microsoft, and then they put themselves in with Activision. So I have a
I
lot
know.
Less sympathy
for them.
You've got to
make money somewhere.
Having not learnt their lesson the first time, and if they say that again and then go and just sign up with someone else, then...
This is the thing.
Oh, EA just bought them, by the way, as we were talking.
Exactly, yeah. EA bought them, and they're closed. That's it. Well done. Everyone has
So what is a little unclear is exactly what the nature of this partnership with Google Stadia is. So, as you guys have probably already mentioned, Google Stadia is part of the Founders Edition bundle that you get. Comes with all of Destiny 2 up to and including Shadowkeep, and presumably the first season of Shadowkeep.
Oh, yeah, including the season pass for Shadowkeep as well, basically. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll come on to that again a little bit as well, because that's a little unusual too. So the big thing they really wanted to get home is that going forward, they're going to embrace the RPG elements of Destiny 2 a lot more. It's going to be a lot more focused on really customizing your character to how they want it. I know they have said this before, but they were showing kind of work in progress kind of screenshots and builds where literally it was just like, here is a bit of armor. You can customize it exactly how you want.
If you buy cans of Monster Energy.
Yeah, no shame.
Again, we haven't heard about that yet. But literally, rather than have the perks tied to a particular bit of armor, when you get an item, the perks on it kind of go into like a database, as it were, that you have, and you can then apply the various perks to any of your armor pieces that you've got. So rather than going, well, I've got this really cool looking armor piece, but it's got garbage rolls, and instead I've got to wander around in a glorified bin bag looking like a moron because it's got all the perks I want.
Yeah.
So gone are the days of that, and there's several like kind of like an 8x8 grid it looked like of perks for each armor piece, and then you kind of the more you unlock the kind of the greater the power the kind of the well not power's probably the wrong term, but the more unique the stats and the abilities become, with apparently like the last perk essentially turning it into almost an exotic version of itself. So there's going to be a lot more, by the sounds of it, interesting interplay in items you equip and items you can get. They didn't really go into any more info about that.
That makes it sound a lot like a system that you would often find inside of a MMO.
And they did actually say that they are embracing the fact that they are an action MMO. They were apparently, before, they were pretty much told, please don't use the word MMO, I think, by Activision.
That's Blizzard, you can't have
that. And now they are saying... Yes, exactly. So now they are saying, yeah, it's an MMO, and we're gonna embrace the good things about that. And it doesn't mean spreadsheets and complicated things. We want it to be accessible. And that kind of brought on to the next thing, which was the social aspect of it. And they know they need to improve that. And it's going to be a game where corporate speak engage, you can play anywhere. And that's very much kind of evidenced by the Google Stadia partnership. But the really interesting thing here is that your Destiny characters will be platform independent. It's cross-save across That's all good. Platforms going forward.
That is quite cool.
So gone are the days of us being, well, we've got, like, we could have a Raid team together, but three of them are on PlayStation, three of them are on PC. Never the twain shall mate. Shall meet.
shall mate, but, I prefer.
Shall mate.
Never the twain shall mate.
Well, there was that one time where me and Coleman had...
you and Mark Twain... behind the bushes. Know, right?
Yes, indeed. And that's a really great thing. I mean, that is cross-save, not cross-play, however. So you would still need for there to be a commonly owned platform between a lot of you, which I've got a sneaking suspicion is likely to be Google Stadia, the way things are being positioned. But you can, you know, all of your equipment and stuff will come with you, which is great. And then... one of the interesting things, which makes me think it wasn't a particularly amicable breakup between Bungie and Activision, is that it's moving to Steam. Destiny 2 is moving to Steam on PC. Yeah, it does make sense. They are, I think, if you've already got the game on Battle.net, you're still going to be able to play up to the end of this annual passes content. Everything you've bought and unlocked on battle.net will come with you to Steam. No details on exactly how that's going to work just yet, but you're literally going to pick up immediately where you left off, which is really,
the game
really good.
Itself, if you purchase the game. Yeah, okay.
Yes,
that's good.
Everything you have purchased, everything, even like the cosmetic items you might have purchased, everything is coming along and will be brought with you to Steam.
Epic Store couldn't afford that one then.
I was really worried when I said, well, you know, they were saying we're going to move on. You know, we've had our time in the sun with Blizzard and we're going to move on to a new platform. I was like, don't be Epic.
Wouldn't it be worse if they just went, and we're going to GOG.com?
I know. But the other interesting thing is that there's going to be a free version of Destiny 2 called Destiny 2 New Light.
So this was the rumor going in.
Yes. So this includes absolutely everything in year one of Destiny 2. So Destiny 2 base game, Warmind, Curse of Osiris. Everything in that is unlocked. Everything in that is completely free.
Tim, you want to play some Destiny?
On Steam. You were going to build a computer, weren't you, Coleman? You need to get the...
Not to the end of the year.
All right, okay. No, but I think it will be on Xbox and PlayStation as
okay.
well. So what it will also include is a redux of the very first mission from Destiny 1, where you're revived in the Cosmodrome. And it sounds like they've put Peter Dinklage's original lines back in. It sounds more like Dinklage than it does Nolan North. Yeah, so that will then drop you off at the tower, and then you start where you basically start where Destiny 2 drops you
off. That's really clever. I like that.
Which is really good. And you will enter the game at power level 750, level 50, meaning that you don't have to, a bit like it is at the moment, like when Kev reappeared out of nowhere. It's like a wild Kev appears with the release of the most recent and last bit of the annual pass for Destiny 2. There's going to be none of this, you could play with us, but first of all, you've got to grind for 40 hours to get up to level 50 and power level 600. Otherwise, there's no point you even turning up. So they want to get around all of that by basically power leveling everyone to the max level and max power at the end of year two, going straight in. And the way it's going to work is that it will drip feed you content based on in-game time, not real world time. So it's not like, well done, you have played 1 hour, wait 72 days until you get the next exciting episode of Destiny. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be literally more stuff will unlock the more activities you do in game. We're basically not to overwhelm you with the first thing you see being a map with like 50 things to do on it. What it will also have is
bagels.
All of the... Yeah, might have that. Why not? Why not, Coleman? Just keep saying words at me. What else has it
got? Taken Bagels. Bagels of Osiris.
The Taken Bagels.
Everyone loves bagels.
Exactly.
We at Bungie understand that you, the people, like bagels. We got you.
Yeah, the crust. Not the curse of Oryx, the crust of Oryx
is
what it's
got. We know
got.
You like that Robert De Niro advert about the bagels. Mm-hmm. Go mad. Bagels. Bagels. Bungie bagels. Go mad, kids.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So there we go.
This will blow Fortnite out of the flipping water.
But what it will also have is all of the free
bagels.
The free roam areas. Yes, all of the free roam bagels. They
all
are because
the
they are the most
bagels.
Ethical bagels you can get, Colm. Exactly. All of the free roam areas, all the patrol areas, will also be open to everybody in this free version of Destiny. That includes the open world areas in Forsaken and will include the open world areas in the new expansion as well. But
does that include the stuff that was walled off on PS4?
Yes.
Previously?
There are no more platform exclusives going forward.
I like that.
Which is probably the thing that's enabled them to do the cross-save. But if you want to play any of the campaign or raids or strikes from anything past the end of year one, you're going to have to
pay. It's a lot of bagels.
Is a lot of bagels, but you can.
You have to pay on what? On Stadia?
Well, whatever platform. Stadia, it's a moot point. If you pre-ordered the Founders Edition of Stadia,
you don't need the free to play.
You get
laughing.
Absolutely everything.
Exactly.
You're laughing
all the
way
to the bank.
Exactly. There are bagels.
You've got cream cheese and chive. You've got the salmon. You got the cheese.
Yes,
bagels all the way,
bruv. You got the New York deli bagel. There's gherkins in there. There's sauerkraut. It's amazing.
Bagels, fam.
Salt beef. Yes, it's incredible. Where was I?
Something about bagels.
So then we get to the point of it. So it comes. You know, you can purchase Shadow Keep as an add-on, and it looks like the prices for that are pretty reasonable on Steam. The base edition of Shadow Keep is £30.
Okay.
Which isn't so bad. And you can get digital deluxe versions, which I think bring up to £50.
That did remind me, I don't think we talked about the base version of Stadia, did we? But anyway.
No. But now here's where the slight rub comes in.
Did.
So when you log
the
in.
The rub comes in. Are you getting excited, Dan?
I am, mate. I am.
I might be a bit too excited for a
my spire is forming.
Podcasting moment.
My spire is forming,
I don't
Tim.
Know.
My spire.
Okay.
Like rubbing rubbing in gently some beautiful homemade garlic butter into a delicious bagel.
Lovely.
Just toasted.
Mm. Enrobing it in that sticky goodness.
Bagel.
Mm. Yeah. So when you first play Shadowkeep, what happens is that you unlock immediately the currently active season that you're in when you play it for the first time. So it's not like, say, it starts at season 8 of stuff. It's not like if you didn't buy it in season 8, you miss out completely. It's like, right, if it's now season 10 and you're playing, it unlocks season 10. But although they say they're not going subscription-based, they are going an a la carte way, which comes back to bagels, obviously.
Of course.
And you will have to buy each season separately if you want the goodies that are in that season.
I have a question.
Mm.
Can you get that with cheese?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, as in... As in ways to circumvent gameplay mechanics, also known as a cheese. Because I'm sure you will
cheese.
Be able to. So that is the kind of the real thing with that. And I mean, although your characters are port across platforms, I would be amazed if, say, I bought it on Steam, the full bundle of the games, that with kind of Shadowkeep and everything, I would be amazed if that ported across, say, to PlayStation. I'd imagine I still would have to buy that stuff on PlayStation if I wanted access to it. But Shadowkeep itself, They're still playing a little coy. The main character in it is Eris Morn, who was the super cheery necro lady from Crota's Bellend, from the Dark Below, and she's coming back. She's kind of disappeared off the face of the kind of the Destiny universe at the end of the Taken King.
She went to get some bagels.
She's coming back. She went to get some bagels. She is her usual cheerful self, as ever. And you're going back to the moon, which is going to have some familiar landscapes from Destiny 1, but they keep promising that it's not just reusing old assets and chucking stuff in.
They did talk about nightmares returning.
Yes.
Do you think that's going to be like people from like Destiny 1 or something?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think they're bringing the old raids back. That doesn't appear to be on the table, but there was certainly...
What about the big ogre on the chain?
Yeah, he's coming back. Fogoth. He's coming back. Fogoth or Golgoroth, both of them come back, I think. No. You don't want off bagels.
No?
That besmirches the good name of bagels.
Good point.
Bagels. It does. No one wants to besmirch the good names of bagels.
Good.
But there was certainly Crota was in there. Atheon, the first raid boss from Destiny 1, was in
Jeff
there.
Jeff Bridges.
Skolas was in there. Jeff Bridges was in there.
Angela Merkel.
The Pillsbury Doughboy was there. Theresa May was there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, all of them.
She was an ogre chained up.
No, that's Boris Johnson. Whiff-waff. So a lot of old returning characters who you thought you'd finished off.
He's a boss in Watch Dogs 3. I'd like to... Anyway.
So there was a lot going on in there. And the release date for the new version of Destiny 2 Shadowkeep is September the 17th, 2019, which is the same day that the kind of free to enter version of Destiny 2 New Light will release that day as well. But there are going to be they're going to move much more to, rather than just concentrating on, you know, one aspect of the game with kind of forthcoming releases and seasons, it's going to be probably like this season will be concentrating on, say, PvP. This season will concentrate on Gambit. This season will concentrate on Strikes, for example.
Yeah, that's
so,
good way of doing it.
So they're going to, which kind of, you know, and it may well be that if it's a season focused solely on PvP, you might go, do you know what? I'm all good. I don't need to
give you some much needed time away.
Exactly. So, so it's all good.
Good.
So that, there was a lot of stuff in there. And you know, I think Bungie are very aware that you know they've got to knock it out of the park. Yes.
Overall, then, yep. As a you know long-term fan of Bungie and a big supporter of Destiny, as their first big set of announcements post Activision. Is this exactly what you hoped for? Is it, you know, how much does that measure up to what you were hoping for from this point in time?
It's a good start. They're talking the talk at the moment. Whether
you've
or not
been
they,
saying that since Destiny 1.
I know. Anyway, they're talking a good talk. Whether or not they walk the walk on this is
Show's
another
promise.
Thing entirely. I think the thing that does need a bit more info about is exactly what the nature of the partnership with Google is, because as you rightly say, Tim, you know, they went, all right, we're out of here, we're casting off the shackles of our corporate overlord Microsoft, and we're going to go and do our own thing, and the first thing we're going to do is to get into bed with Bobby Kotick.
Yeah, they're like, what are you doing?
I do literally think it was, hey, we need, like, Google needs something big to say in Stadia. You know, Bungie have separated from Activision, Bungie are planning a whole cross-save thing. If you're to announce that on Stadia and give the game away with the Stadia Pass, like it's a pretty good, like they probably just chucked them some money to do it. But I think that is probably the business arrangement. It's not so much a, hey, we're in bed with Google now. It's more a Google paid us to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree that's for it very much is kind of both of them. It's a deal that's mutually beneficial for both. Google want to get Stadia off the ground. They want to do it in a way that, you know, is going to enable people to connect with their friends a lot better. And the whole push they're going for with Destiny 2 going forward is that they want to kind of break down all the barriers to make just playing together online.
I also think for you personally and for us as a show, it's very good for us analysing, or you particularly analysing Google Stadia, because it's a game you know very well on multiple platforms and will be able to speak to how well it performs and looks in comparison, basically.
Yeah, so I'm sure it'll look fantastic. The thing that I know we've said this before on the show, but if any company's going to crack it, it's going to be Google. I think what Stadia's going to live and die by is latency.
And as they pointed out, though, that's something they have been, you know, they reckon they've been measuring up to that standard on multiple platforms already, and this is just another platform for them to roll that level of service to, basically. And like you say, they're the ones with the coverage.
Put it this way, I stand prepared to be pleasantly surprised by it, but we all know what an absolute shit show OnLive was. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Internet has improved.
Where bagels were not yet invented.
I mean, they were, but they weren't as good.
No, they were just slices of bread with a hole crudely cut out in the middle.
That's it. Back in the days of OnLive.
I liked the vision and the product, and I liked getting a free console in the OnLive thing. That was about it. But like, getting like actually going out and paying for the Google thing shows that I'm at least interested.
Yeah.
No.
And I think
and
it's a good price. That Founders Edition is a good price.
Yes.
And the £9 a month subscription for Stadia Pro is perfectly reasonable.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like, okay, yep, you got me on board for that. Bingo. The only thing is, one other point and then we'll leave it, but the one screen they haven't talked about this being on, a VR screen.
Oh, fuck. So
yeah,
me,
let's definitely move on.
But just for me, that means I'm still tied to at least a console for the moment for the VR future.
Mate, you've got Smash Brothers in rubbish cardboard VR. Just take it and take the victory this week. Stop your moaning. Anyway, thank you, Dan, for dropping in and talking about Destiny.
That's quite all right. I it's the one time in the year I'm allowed to do it. Also, there's a new expansion.
It's good to have you on the show.
I know. Also,
yeah,
there's a new expansion.
And I guess I care about it again now that it's on Google Stadia and it's the first game I've bought, essentially, for my new console.
Yeah, and I already own one copy of it, so I've got to buy at least another three.
There you go.
Yes.
You
go.
Yeah, this has been the Destiny Bagel block, sponsored by Bagel Bake on Brick Lane. Good bagels.
Good
bagels. I'll give them free advertising. Go get
I tell
a bagel.
I tell you, Mr. Bagel in Wood Green's very good as well.
No, I'm giving you the one. Trust me. It's the place.
Really?
Yeah, trust me.
The place.
Bagel Bake, telling you.
I can't say I have a good bagel place to recommend.
It is the bagel place. You'll have one of these bagels and then you will hate bagels that aren't these bagels. That's how good these bagels are.
That sounds
are.
Like a bad thing to do.
No, have they got that nice, slightly bubbly crust
around them? It's like bagel cocaine.
Oh.
Bagel crack.
Bagelane.
Anyway, yeah, we're very off.
Bagelan.
Back to the show.
Bread with a hole.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you, past Coleman, who I am talking to, even though it's future Coleman, because we're then slotting this in and then going on. Seamless editing. You'll never know what happened. Tim.
Yes, that's me, apparently.
You went to the UK Games Expo.
I did indeed, sir.
You played lots of board games.
I did indeed.
Well, not necessarily board games, tabletop games.
Yes, some card games, some other things.
You did a write-up on BigRedBarrel.com.
Yes, so I won't bore you and some people only coming here for the video games with everything, but I will bring a couple of things to your attention, but also plug my article because there's a bit more in it as well and pictures of some of the things I'm talking about. So, yeah, big UK Games Expo 2019 write-up on Big Red Barrel, so you can check that out. But, one of the things I thought would be of interest would be the God of War card game.
Okay.
Coming from Cool Mini or not, and the only disappointment about that is they're not very many cool minis in it. Like, they're not actually making miniatures. But they've got some cool little standee things, and I quite like the look of the gameplay, actually. It's got a thing where you reveal a set of cards, and that makes a scene that has, like, enemies in it, and the enemies, like, possible damage and health and all that type of thing can be recorded or is on that information, is on those cards, rather. And then it also, you know, make up a scene from the game, and the kind of, it's in, like, say you got 8 cards together, and there'll be 4 on the top, 4 on the bottom, and the 4 on the bottom you can hit with melee attacks, whereas the 4 on the top you can hit with ranged attacks. It's just interesting way of kind of doing things, and yeah, look like an interesting card-based game where you can kind of upgrade your heroes. I did also wonder, because it was a 4-player game, how they were going to do that with just one main character, obviously, kind of thing. I mean, it makes sense that, and I'm probably going to butcher their names, but Atreus, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, you know, the secondary character. But then I was like, okay, and Freya's the third. All right, fair enough. Who's the fourth? And I was like, oh, Mimir. Okay. And it was like, as a tree or a disembodied head? And it was like, as a disembodied head. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. But then it did seem to mention that there's 6 heroes in the game, and I think the other 2 are Brock and Sindri.
Okay.
Or they come as a pair and someone else, possibly. Not 100% on that. But yeah, like it looks like it's going to, you know, do something that's reasonably faithful to the game. My one concern is with similar properties like, say, Conan, for example, where you've got like one main hero and their mates, or like Batman, for example. Everyone wants to be Batman. No one wants to be Robin. And I wonder if that's like a similar-ish problem with this. Will it be like, you know, I want to be Kratos, and then you 3 can be the other characters? But hey, I wouldn't mind being Mimir. I think that'd be quite funny.
If you're 12, maybe.
But you know what I mean? Like, just in terms of, you know, like, you don't want to play the God of War to not be the God of War.
You could be like, I don't know, the God of Swiss cheese.
But that's it. I kind of like the look of it. I didn't get to play like a full game of it, but yeah, it's one I'd like to get stuck into a bit in the future. And as I said, even if it was not very good, I'll still probably pick it up, because it's a, you know, card game of my favorite video game of all time. So I'm probably destined to pick it up anyway, basically.
It's just a shame about the cardboard standees that you said, because I mean the artwork looks nice, but it is just the artwork for the game that they've stuck on a cardboard, you know, little cardboard stand.
And as I said, the company that's making it is literally called Cool Mini or Not, and they're called that because they make a lot of games with cool miniatures in. So when I heard they were making it, I was like, as I said, everything else apart from that looks good. And hey, who knows, maybe they'll do a deluxe version with some miniatures in as well, basically.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Go on then, what's next?
The other one is something I only discovered right at the last minute, but I think there's a lot of fans that should look for it. It just looked really cute, and the gameplay looked intriguing, and I didn't get to play it myself, but Chocobo Party Up.
Basically. Sorry, a what?
Chocobo? I always say Chocobo. Chocobo.
Chocobo.
Chocobo.
Chocobo.
I know.
Say Ocarina.
Ocarina.
There we go.
But yeah, it just looks silly and fun and quite cute. And yeah, it had nice little looking characters in, and the gameplay looked intriguing. So that's one I think fans of Final Fantasy will obviously be interested in hooking up with, possibly. So I thought I'd mention that. And the other one is another game I didn't get to play at all. I like did try at certain points, but it was always quite busy and it was getting a lot of buzz before the show. But one that I... also mentioning, it's kind of it's a game called Sanctum. It's a bit of a like dungeon crawler, you know, cooperative kind of working together thing. It's made by the people that made a game called Adrenaline, which I really like, which was a take, I mentioned it on the show before, it was a take on a first person shooter. And so I think it's that team turning their hands to a actual kind of dungeon crawling type game. So yeah, I'm interested in that as well, basically. So yeah, okay. They were the 3, I think, highlights for pure video gamers. As I said, there was a lot of other stuff that I got to see that I really liked as a more of a board and card gamer. And I'll leave that for anyone that wants to chase it up and look at it in the article, because I wrote a big article. So there's lots of stuff covered in that. Yeah. Well, Yes. And also a quick mention for one of the other ones. Hey, look, I read the word before I'd heard it spoken. It stuck
run
in my
like
head that
the
way.
Wind.
Anyway, but yeah, but yeah, also just a quick mention for the Refuge Terror from the Deep, mainly because it's on brand, kind of. It's got a big red kraken, not a big red barrel, but a big
it's
red
close.
Kraken. So, you know, it's not bad. 2 out of 3 words. But yeah, it's also on Kickstarter at the moment, so you might want to check that out because that looks pretty cool. It's got a huge kraken for you to fight as a team of divers, basically. And the one thing I didn't mention in my article, which I is one of the reasons why I'm keen on it myself as well, is it looks like a more expensive game and it's quite cheaply priced for what it looks like you get for it as well, kind of thing. So yeah, okay. I quite like that.
Outside of the UK Gaming Expo, we have been playing actual video games.
Yes.
I have just finished Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat!
Not 11. I've just finished Mortal Kombat X.
Mortal Kombat X, okay.
Yeah, so...
The one behind Coleman.
Well, yes. Welcome to 2000 and... When the hell did that game come out? 16? 15? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, yeah, a few years
ago. It's cold back here. I mean, it's nice. There's no Brexit, but it's lovely. anyway, so if you want, if you can't afford Mortal Kombat 11 and you find X on sale and they've got the old, especially if you've got the Ultimate Edition with all the extra characters and gubbins and stuff, I would definitely say go for that. It's a very entertaining story. Now I'm all ready for 11. I've just got to wait for that one to go on sale and not play that for 2 years.
I did have the choice of possibly buying 11 or buying the game I'm about to talk about in a minute, but which is Rage 2. But yeah, like I weighed it up and I was like, I still don't really want to support your business model, even when buying something secondhand kind of thing. So no.
Okay.
And yeah, it just reminded me that if I could still go back to Mortal Kombat and probably enjoy that, and I've still got Soul Calibur that I'd like to play a bit more of as well. So
yeah.
I think I'm fighting gamed up for the minute.
And Devil May Cry that you've got to lend me.
Yes, I need to finish that so I can lend it to other people that want to borrow it, but including you, sir.
Right, you mentioned Rage 2.
Yes.
How quickly can we talk about Rage 2 as we run out of time?
I reckon pretty quick. As I said, I've been enjoying it, and it's fun. And, like, yeah, it's one of those things where I'm really generally enjoying the general gameplay, and I can understand why some people don't like that, but the mixture between, for me, of driving to a location, getting out, getting to that location, having a fairly scripted, in some cases linear, in some cases a bit more open and sprawled, like bandit camp type things. And yeah, like just, I like that interplay. I like the gunplay. I like the kind of animations of the enemies and the way they interact with what you're doing. And yeah, I enjoy the world and the setting and kind of all those side of things. There's a few things on the gameplay design side of things that are hampering my enjoyment. Not many, but like just a few things. I'm like, why'd you do that? That's a bit weird. Like there's when you're clearing a bandit camp, for instance, it doesn't like you can knock out all the enemies and kill the big bad in that area and do everything, but it won't count it as completing the area until you've picked up all the like crates in the area.
Right.
And not like the little crates, but there's like three levels of things. There's one like big crate where you get like arc upgrade type things and they can upgrade your character and modify you and blah blah blah. But then there's another level of crates, and it's those ones that count as kind of secondary level of crates, and then there's like ammo stuff below that basically. And the secondary level of crates you generally find resources or money in a plentiful amount in one spot basically. But yeah, there'll be like six of them in a bandit camp, and it won't count you as fully finished. It won't like tick that off or count that as fully finished bandit camp until you found all six. I'm like, oh. So sometimes you're left like wandering around the whole environment like searching for one like of those sort of things that are just stuck off in a corner, and it's like I can't be bothered to do that. So I've like stopped doing that at locations, and yeah, it doesn't impact it majorly, but it just seems like, yeah, an odd design choice. Like I can understand having like the arc level of things at that point, but not the other stuff. But yeah, like generally anyone that hasn't seen it's, post-apocalyptic setting. You're driving around and the vehicles are there. The weird thing about that is another weird design choice niggle. Like the car that you get to start with is at least from what I've seen in the game so far, by far the best car of anything else you could get, especially once you've upgraded it. And once you've upgraded one car, there's no point in doing other. But most of the other cars I've come across don't have the main asset that the first car does, which is guns you can shoot at things. And that seems like a weird oversight. Like, there's some that have got like offensive weapons that like drop massive nukes out the back, but they're not that useful in terms of like raiding a bandit camp or generally shooting something in front of you. And now that I've upgraded that starting car to have like missiles that can shoot stuff, like, yeah, there doesn't seem much point in doing the other vehicles. But yeah, like, as I said, it's got like interesting upgrade system. It's the only thing with that is there's so many different things to upgrade. I go, oh, I haven't upgraded that for like ages. Oh, and I forgot to upgrade my car. And what the hell's going on? But yeah, there's so much to upgrade that it's easy to forget about one of the factors for a while you're doing other stuff, sort of thing. But yeah, like, generally enjoying it, enjoying the world, and it's been fun. My other thing that there's my other gripe is I really like the card game in the first one, and I haven't found that yet, and I've really been to like a few in the cities, and it doesn't seem to be anywhere. I looked all around the first town and couldn't find it anywhere. I don't know if I haven't found it or it's just not there. But yeah, like,
it was something that was one of the many complaints in the previous game, so Avalanche just didn't put it in.
But I liked it enough that it was that might be in this game. Like, it was almost a selling point to me getting this. I was like, I wonder if they have another version of that card game. That'd be cool to play again, kind of thing. I was like, oh.
So between you playing Rage 2 and me playing Days Gone still, we've both got our open world games that have got mediocre reviews that are actually pretty decent games.
Yeah, and I think often, you know, it depends what you're looking for and what you want. And as I said, I really like the way the guns feel and work, and I like the driving around in between the missions kind of thing. I don't know. Like, I really liked Mad Max as well, and that was a very similar thing, you know, made by the same company that seemingly made most of Rage 2 by the looks of things, or had a large part in it. And yeah, like, that was another game that sort of flew under the radar a little bit and wasn't so well liked, but I really liked The Last Mad Max. I thought it was great, and there's obviously similarities in the structure and the theme of this game that, you know, just appeals to me and I like, I guess.
Okay, one closing question.
Yes.
Rage 2 or Mad Max?
Oh, that I haven't played enough of Rage 2 to know this for sure. At the moment, the one thing Mad Max had over it was the like up close visceral combat type stuff that's not absent from this, but the gunplay is much better in Rage 2. So if I had to probably choose, I'd probably go Rage 2 just about.
But did you have like a mutated hunchback bloke who would fix your car at a moment's notice?
I couldn't figure out how to fix my car. I drove it all the way back to a town the other day. I'm like, look, I park in the garage. I park here.
Mad Max wins.
Why can't you fix my car? I don't want to take one of these other crappy cars. They don't have guns on them. So, yeah.
All right. Mad Max wins.
Yeah. But there's big hulking monster things for you to fight, which are quite cool.
No, Mad Max wins. Mm. Mutant dude, fix car. Yeah. Rage 2, can't figure out how to fix car. Mad Max wins.
Okay, but better boss fights in Rage 2. So
fine. All right, that is all the time we've got time for. I should have worked out that sentence in my head before I said it. So, without further ado, I will say, Tim, hey, tell us about Tuesday.
I will tell you about a Tuesday. First of all, I'm going to tell you about last Tuesday quickly, but it is podcast relevant, so it's okay. Mr. Gabriel.
Oh, Peter Gabriel.
Peter Gabriel. Came along to Tabletop Tuesday. Him and his lovely wife Maria were over from the States, and they popped into Tabletop Tuesday. So it's always nice to see a podcast listener. I think we were trying to work out. I'm still not sure. He's either the second or third longest traveling podcast listener, I think. Basically,
if I had a heads up, I probably would have came to Tabletop Tuesday. I wouldn't have come to Tabletop Tuesday. It's really far now. I can't get there in time.
But yeah, it was lovely to see him. And actually, his wife ended up winning the game, so they got to go home with a prize.
Fix.
And it was a big one, so they've got to get it in their suitcase, which was possibly a pain, but a pain they were happy with. So,
stuck a handle on the box. It is a suitcase.
Yeah, lovely to see them, and I think they're currently in France now and off on their European travels. But yeah,
whoa, it was
lovely to meet them and see them on Tuesday. And I'm glad they had a good time as well. So thank you very much for coming along. And right, the rest of the month, Coleman, we're playing Cops and Robbers. Yes. Now, this one, Coleman, is close to my heart because it may be a kid's game, but there are elements that remind me of Perfect Crime.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say this is close to your heart because it's yet another re-release of a game that you modelled for as a child.
Well, no, not on this occasion. But okay. Yeah, it's literally a kid's game called How to Rob a Bank. So, like, it's not a set of instructions. I'm not providing career advice information here. It's, yeah, basically a kid's game that takes place on a kind of blueprint, which is the thing that reminds me of Perfect Crime. And it's kind of a raised up thing and arrangement of bank, but it's a really simple game. And one person takes charge of the bank and the other three are robbers, basically. But yeah, looks really simple, looks really fun. As always say, the best kids games make the best drunk people games, and I think this is going to fulfill that category for us at Tabletop Tuesday. For anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we hold an event called Tabletop Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston and in London. And each week we have a different feature game. If you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the night. So this week you can win yourself a copy of How to Rob a Bank and possibly not change careers, but at least have some fun to play with the family. It's going on about a bit of a limb, this one, but it is very highly rated on Board Game Geek for a family game as well. Like, so, I think I was a bit worried because I didn't know that before I kind of signed up to it. I just liked the look of it and thought it would be fun. But yeah, it looks like a good game. So yeah, it should make for a good prize this week. For anyone who doesn't know, there's more details on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, and you can join the over 1,750 people on our meetup group. Search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com.
That is Tabletop Tuesday on the 11th of June. How to Rob a Bank over in the Loading Bar, Dalston in London. 10. Usually we do shout-outs. I put my hands up. I forgot to note them down. Sorry if you require shout-outs.
We have a lot to cram in this week. It's okay.
We did get a poker fact. I was going to note it down, and then I read it, and I realized I didn't want to read it out loud. So yeah, thank you, one person, for poker fact. We'll try that again another time, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe not.
Any suggestions, we said email and tweet and all that kind of stuff, go ahead and do so. But for this week, we will call it an end of a show. Thank you for listening thus far, and thank you for continuing to listen in the future, I hope. We're not doing the big E3 show that we usually do because it will literally kill me this year with work. So we're going to work our way around that and do some E3 coverage somehow. But yeah unfortunately,
we'll
it's not going to be the
post-show posting next week, no?
Yeah, you're not getting the 2 to 4 hour mega show that we've released in the past this year, sadly. It might return in some format, but I'm not sure how yet. We'll try that again. If E3 even lives a few more years, we'll see.
Yeah.
So anyway, for episode 346 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast.
Correct, sir.
Yes, I have been Coleman.
I might have been Tim.
And that was also Dan. And until next time, dear listeners, goodbye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
Getting kicked out of my goddamn show. I'm out of here. Screw you guys!